should ever leave me. Though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Yes, welcome to the Game Mangs podcast. This is the official podcast of BrooklynKing.com, and I'm your host, Brooklyn, back in this bitch, coming to you live from ATL, USA. Also on the podcast, we have Scatino, a.k.a. Scat.
What up?
Coming to you live from Manchester, UK.
Yeah.
And this is episode 203, and today is Sunday, April 7th, 2013. That's right. So, 203. So, yeah, man, that was BioShock Infinite and all that good stuff, and it's awesome. Yeah, man. And that's definitely the main game, I guess, we have to talk about this week. Not only just because there's really nothing else out, but because it's awesome. And that's just how it is, man. I finally beat it yesterday. So right on time, man. It's been just so crazy, like... crazy, man. It's been a crazy couple weeks for me personally, and I guess, you know, I just been going through a lot of drama personally. So I got laid off from my job like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my god, you serious?
Yup. So, like, literally it happened right before the last podcast, and I thought about talking about it on the podcast, but it had just happened, and I was like, you know what, let me just, we had a lot of other shit to talk about, so I kind of just, you know, you gotta get your mind right when stuff happens and all of that. So, yeah, man, so I've been really, you would think, and this is the funny thing, is that you would think that someone who doesn't have a job or is looking for a job would have so much time to play games, but I found it to be the opposite. Like, it's such a job looking for one and sorting through all the rubbish out there and all the things you have to do. It's such a, like, unpleasant process, you know? All the paperwork and all of that stuff has just been ugh. So, I haven't really played as many games as I would have liked. And honestly, I've had BioShock Infinite here and haven't really had as much time to dig into it as I would have liked. And funny enough, it's like kind of like when you're like a kid and you say, you know, when I'm a grown-up, I'm gonna buy all the toys in the world. And when you become a grown-up, you don't buy all the toys in the world. I feel like that kind of with this is kind of like I have time, but I really don't have time, right? Because I have to spend the time jumping right back into it. So, and it feels awkward, and it feels, there's like a funny feeling when I'm using my time to do leisure stuff right now. Like if it's a weekday last week, for me to not work on what I have to work on to get a new gig, to play games, feels wrong, you know? It's like in the back of your mind, you're like, dude, what are you doing? You know what I mean? It's like, I know I have other more important things that's important and pressing to do, and I really can't relax with the video game at all. Like, I just can't. It's not, you know. So I've been really busy just going through the motions and doing all the things that I have to do, updating resumes and all of this stuff because I've really been, I mean, whew, I think for the past 8 years, I've went from, you know, job to job seamlessly, you know?
Yeah.
So I have never really had to, like, look or update my resume or do all of the other things that people do when you're looking for a gig. And so that in and of itself was work, right? Like, really revamping all of the stuff, my resume and portfolio for, with 8 years worth of work, you know, kind of sort of stuff. And it's been a lot of shit, man. And one thing that I, and the reason, you know, one of the things that I came to mind when I thought about talking about it today was that I don't want people to fall in the same trap that I fell in. Like, I ignored LinkedIn for the most part for like ever. Like, I've had a LinkedIn account and I signed up for it like 8 years ago or some shit, or 6 years ago, and never really paid attention to it and updated it and it got, you know, made connections on it and, you know, had that awakening via friends in the industry now, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, that's what recruiters and companies look at, right? They look at how many people you're connected to in your industry and what's on your LinkedIn page and all of this shit that you know, it's all of this stuff that you don't think about. You're like, oh shit, like, I should have been doing this all this time and now I have to make up for lost time. It's a job, like, it's crazy. So don't get caught out there, you know, if you're working in an industry, get on LinkedIn and update your stuff and really pay attention to it and make as many connections as you can because it will help you. Like, it's a new kind of job market in general where that is like the Facebook of employment. And it's what it is, right? It's crazy, like crazy. So definitely keep that in mind regardless of where you are. You know, if you have a job or you're looking or you're in school, just even if you're interning, just start updating that and keep making connections and all of that stuff because it's super important. And yeah, man, so I've just been working on that and not really having time for much else because it's so critical, you know. So it's, you know, not the most fun thing to have to do, you know what I mean? The process sucks. You know, my phone rings all day, and then most of it is, like, stuff I don't want to do, you know? So it's like, it's like, hey, I got this doing this, and I'm like, that's not what I'm looking for, right? But you got to take every call, because the one call you don't take could be the one. Right,
exactly.
And I hate being on the phone. You don't understand. Like, I don't like talking on the phone. I don't like none of that. Like, I'm the type, I'll say, hey, yeah, I'm real short and to the point. So to have to do that is just like, bleh, you know, but gotta do what you gotta do. So that's what I've been doing, you know, and I've been pretty out of, you know, low key because of that, just because it's like draining. So there's that, and then Friday I got a note from Google saying, hey, we found some malware on your site. And so basically what happened with that was I had this plugin on the site that was like a caching plugin to speed up the site. And I think there was some kind of exploit in the code, and it's basically hackable. So whoever made the exploit, I mean, the code is this, the plugin is running on hundreds or thousands of WordPress sites, you know, and just sites in general. So whenever, I guess they just started using the exploit, and the cached pages had this exploit that would serve whatever. So I took it down as soon as I found out on Friday. So I don't think anyone was harmed by it, but Google is like, it takes them time to remove the warnings, you know. So once they find that your site's been compromised, they put up the warnings immediately, and then you have to make an appeal, and then that takes 48 hours or 72 hours or until they get to it, basically. They don't even really stick to a... They don't even give you a timeline. They'll just say, hey, you can appeal. And that takes... Could take up to 2 weeks. It's happened before. So there's that, you know, but...
Oh, so is that why the site was down for a bit last week?
When you say down, what do you mean?
We couldn't access it, like, whatsoever.
Really? Which, when?
Yeah. On Thursday.
Thursday, evening? Yep. Yep.
Thursday evening.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there were some errors on it. So, yeah, that's exactly what happened. It happened on Thursday. And then Google reported it to me on Friday, or it might have been Thursday night, or Friday, one of the two. Yeah. So that all happened within a like 6 hour window, whatever. Yep. Sucks. So it's all been cleared. So I cleared all that stuff out this weekend. So the warnings are still up, but there's nothing malicious on the site. And I actually took it down Thursday or Friday. I don't remember. And so, yeah, there's that. So it's like one thing after another. So it's just been, you know, bleh for the most part. So then there's that. So I don't know. You know, I'm just like, what the fuck? So, yeah, man. So that's kind of where I'm at, and just trying to, you know, get back into it before. I'm just hoping, you know, everything pops off before E3. Because I still have a bunch of stuff I want to do to the site and redesigning it, and I've had to put that on hold, obviously. So hopefully, if all this stuff moves as quick as I want it to, then, you know, things will get back to normal. So, yay. Welcome to the circle of value. Circus of value? Yeah. Welcome to the circus of value. It's kind of like, okay, great. Awesome. You know? So that's kind of where I was just like, when I saw this stuff on Friday, I was like, really, Google? Really? Awesome. So yeah, man. So let's what do we want to talk about first? That's not about that stuff. News or?
Well, I finally picked up the Wii U. But unfortunately, I've been so busy this week myself. I've just really not had found the time to actually delve into it.
Oh, word.
Yeah. I mean, I got the Monster Hunter game, and I got the Super Mario game. The Super Mario game, you know, wasn't really expecting much from it. It's the same game we've been playing now for a good few years. It's still a great game, a great fun Mario game, everything, you know. Mario's Mario. It looks great as well, finally, some Mario HD. Monster Hunter, I've not really played a lot of it, like I said, but it definitely looks like the kind of game that when I get time this week, I'm just going to get completely lost in it. So I'm
yeah, I thought that was I thought that was the reason you bought the Wii U, was because of
was because of Monster Hunter, but because it's like this massive RPG, I need to make sure I've got the time to play it.
Right.
You know, I could set aside some time, and I've just not had that time this week because of one thing or another. But you know, the actual system itself, I'm looking forward to the patch that they're coming out for it. in the next couple of weeks, which is going to like speed up the whole like operating system and everything, because it really is quite slow at the moment. And they're also adding the virtual console to it as well in this patch. So I mean, yeah, the Wii U's the Wii U. It looks nice, you know. The interfaces are nice. The little apps that you have, like the Mi Universe and everything, or the Miiverse, whatever it's called, where it's kind of like each game has its own like page, sort of like, you know, Facebook like pages or something. So you can click on them, and then it's just whole discussions people are talking about that particular game. You know, so you can comment on other people's posts.
Right. It's like forums for each game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a nice little feature. And I think, you know, for, you know, in the future, when more games come out that are, you know, a lot more difficult, when people can post like tips and things.
Yeah, but my question is this: do you want to do that on your TV though? Like,
I don't know, because it's easier, I guess. I mean, you can pretty much open it up whenever anyway, and like, you know, and just scroll through it. If you've not got your laptop to hand or anything else to hand, you know, it's a means to an end.
Right.
And at least it keeps you connected to other people playing that specific game.
Right.
You know,
and it would be dope if they put in like online interface the same functionality. So where I could sign in with my Nintendo ID online via a web browser on my computer and get into the same discussions that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the actual Miiverse, I think they are actually releasing it online to the PC and to the handheld devices, so you can stay connected that way.
That would be cool.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think, you know, as the months go on, there's going to be tweakings here and there, so we'll see how it goes. I'm definitely looking forward to E3. I mean, because the way I see it, I wanted Monster Hunter anyway, but I'm thinking, I look at it as an investment. It's a new console. I know there's going to be games out for it that I want, but I don't want to put it off and put it off and put it off. And then it gets to Christmas time and the PS4's out or some shit like that. I don't want to then have to buy two consoles. You know, I've got the Wii U now, that's out the way. That's paid for, that's done. So, you know, any other consoles that come across, that come out later on, you know, I'm sorted. So, I mean,
yeah, that's one way to look at it. I mean, you could also look at it like, it's only going to drop in price. Right? Like, my whole thing with the Wii U is like, okay, it's only going to drop in price. Like, it's not going to cost more when I'm ready for it. Because that's just not going to happen. So, if anything, by waiting, I'm probably going to get a bundle at a cheaper price. So, I don't know. That's my philosophy. I feel like like we've said, the game market and video games is all about, it's a exercise in patience, and it rewards the people who are willing to wait, like, because everything drops in price like ridiculously, like it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it just sucks that it's like that, because I feel like the real true fans really get it the worst. The people who are supporting the industry are the ones that are kind of get the short end of the stick, right? Because than some pre-order bonuses, really you're paying double for stuff that a month later is half price. So, yeah. I don't see it dropping too much in price, but I could see it dropping another $50, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll have more impressions on it, you know, as the weeks and months go on. Like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to E3, seeing what else they're going to bring out. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to finally getting into Monster Hunter this week, because I've got, like, the next 5 days off. So, I'm going to chill out and play some games. So that's that. So other than BioShock, you must have something else.
Who, me?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
You must have something else that you've been playing. At least a little bit. Oh,
I didn't know we were getting into that section. Yeah, so I've been playing Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 Plus on Vita. And that game is fun as hell. Playing that and Sonic Racing Transformed on Vita. That game is ridiculous. Like, I was really just playing the Vita version and really impressed. Like, that is probably one of the best Vita ports / Vita games. Definitely the best Vita racing game out. But technically, on Vita, it's awesome. And I think it's on sale right now, so I would, if you have a Vita, you should definitely buy that shit. Because it's, I think it's like $15 now on sale.
Mm.
And it's so much content. Like, I'm still trying to get through the campaign, and I bought it in December, you know? And I play it pretty frequently, so it's tons of content, super fun, skill-based, so I've been playing that. Mega Man. I play a lot of Vita stuff because I could kind of like play some and just turn it off, you know, kind of thing. And consoles? I haven't played any console games. Nope. I haven't played any games on a console. I've played BioShock Infinite and beat that. I played a bunch of Vita stuff like Wipeout and the stuff I just mentioned and tried to get in a Gravity Rush, but I just can't. I haven't been able to.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like it's boring. Like, I like the mechanic of her floating around and doing that gravity stuff, but then it's like, other than fucking about with that, I'm like, okay, now what, right? Like, I don't find the action interesting enough to tie it together with the mechanic.
Mm.
So, like, to make a parallel, a game like Vanquish, right? Which is another game that has a core mechanic that really the game revolves around, right? The whole slopping time and speeding up stuff. That game has that mechanic, but what pieces it together are fun, right? So the weapons that you use with the mechanic are fun. And then there's variety in the enemies that you fight with the mechanic. And I feel like in Gravity Rush, the enemies you fight are all boring as hell. Like,
yeah.
Little globs, big globs, tall globs. They're all like, look, they look like, you know, globs of shit or ink or whatever, right? Like, it's so uninteresting to me. There's no characterizations. There's no character behind the evil, you know? And I get that it's about her discovering who she is, but there's still no, I want a villain. I want somebody to, I don't know. This is something missing for me.
Did you ever get to the entertainment district?
I'm at the part where you get teleported to this world in some guy's stomach. Right? Isn't that what happens? He opens his jacket and you get sucked into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
So I can't really remember exactly what point that is. But yeah. The entertainment district, it's all like the neon lights and everything, like jazz music.
That would be up my alley.
Yeah, and that's like not even that far into it. So that's like the second district of the world that you visit. So
really?
I can tell you've not actually played it that much.
I mean, I think I've put in at least a couple hours into it. I'm definitely past chapter 2, you know. I don't know. It's all right, I guess. I'm determined to give it a try. I mean, it is free, you know. So I haven't deleted it just yet. So, there's still hope. I don't think it's gonna be that game for me, though. Guacamelee comes out Monday, Tuesday, right? And I'm gonna buy that if it has great reviews. It's only $15, so it's supposed to be like a Metroidvania game, which, you know, is definitely has my interest piqued because of that. But Sonic All-Stars, man, that game is awesome. That's like the Mario Kart game I've wanted. And it's all mine. So, yeah, man. That's really what I've been playing. Do you want to start to talk about Bioshock Infinite, or what else is there?
Well, I think all this Xbox bullshit going on at the moment.
Oh, the rumors.
Yeah, the always online shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is absolutely ridiculous.
It is.
Really, I think.
So are you not going to buy it if that's true?
I'm not going to say I'm not going to buy it, because it could turn out to be an amazing system. I just think that is just a really, really big mistake, and I think they're alienating a huge part of their audience.
Hell
if they
yeah.
do that.
Hell yeah.
Because not everybody has got super, super fast internet. Not everybody has internet access.
Yeah,
but my own an Xbox.
The thing about it is that super fast internet is not going to be required, right? Because all they need is for you to handshake and say, this person is online and you are Coutinho and your online pass is valid, or your pass is valid, right?
Mm.
So really,
I know, but even for the people who may not have the most stable internet connections, it's like imagine playing Bioshock Infinite. It's a single player game, and you get right to that part where the craziest part of that game, and then all of a sudden your internet cuts off and the game cuts off.
Yeah, but it's
right
not going to work like that. Based on the rumors, it's going to check every 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. It's not going to check every second. So if your internet connection is spotty, you know, you'll have time for it to like reconnect. And I'm assuming that'll be like seamless behind the scenes shit, you know? So I don't think it'll... I think the issue is more so how, as a consumer, we feel about the requirement or the lack of the ability to resell these games, right? Because the disc is going to be worthless, because they're going to basically probably sell a code that's going to be worth almost a value at a disc, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be like a game version of an online code. So.
They're definitely on some bullshit.
Yeah. There's some bullshit going on, a-brewing. Definitely.
We'll find out soon enough.
We'll find out in about, what, a month?
Yeah.
2 months?
Like
2 months. About 60 days from now.
But, I mean, yeah, because that guy come out on Twitter and he was all like, you know, get over it, you know. We're in, like, the internet age and all this bullshit. Get over it.
Yeah,
get online
it was
and get over
lead
it.
Lead designer or something like that.
Yeah, and, like, product. Xbox, like, dudes at Microsoft have come out and apologized for his comments, but they didn't exactly deny what he was saying.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I think they just need to expect a huge backlash if this comes out. You know, if this does turn out to be true. You know, obviously, you know, millions of people, it won't put them off, but for a lot of people, it may just put them off.
Right. It all depends on their strategy. I think their strategy might just be sell a system for $200 and then require the live subscription, right?
Mm.
And then the live subscription will be like $100 or something crazy.
Yeah.
Or you pay monthly, right? So it's doesn't seem crazy. It's like $15 a month, like Netflix. And they get their money back anyway. I don't know, man.
Nah, but I don't seem to like their business model, Microsoft. I've not liked it for a long time now, and this kind of shit does not,
yeah,
you know, make me like them anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I really don't know what they're playing at.
All this digital download shit at the moment is messed up. I mean, because even on Sony's side, like Vita, the memory cards are not big enough, so it doesn't even make sense to buy digital anymore. Like, I can't even, there's no advantage now because I can't even carry everything around with me because I can't fit it. So that's why I stopped buying digital, because not because I don't like the convenience, but just because I can't have the convenience because I can't fit it. At least if I have the cards, I can, you know, put it in this case I have for my cards. So it's kind of stupid on their part too, and I'm like, they really need to announce a 64 gigabyte card at E3. And price drops for the other ones. They really do need that. Like, that's needed for their digital business. Because if they had a 64 gigabyte card, I'd buy it immediately. And I could fit all my stuff on there. I already have, like, at least 4 games that I paid for that I can't fit on my my memory card anymore. I have, like, Uncharted I deleted Blaze Blue. I think I also deleted Need for Speed. Something else. I don't remember. Ridge Racer. That's 4 right there. Plus all the other, like, little PSP games that I have on a different memory card. It's bullshit.
Yeah. I don't know what games you'd be playing.
All this digital stuff is all weird right now. So,
well, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see exactly what they do announce and what bullshit they announce alongside with it. All these companies are always, you know, you think they're coming out with the shit and then they announce the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? It's always the same.
That's why I haven't really been hyped for anything, really.
So, I mean, I'm hyped for the PS4 and the capabilities of it and, you know, the whole social side of it. But I'm just waiting for that one thing that I'm going to be like, ugh.
Honestly, if some of the smaller PSN games came to Vita, I would be happy. Like, if they just did, like, you know, Scott Pilgrim and some of those smaller games on Vita, I would be like, yes, just porting them over.
Limbo's coming to Vita.
I know. That's going to be cool. I'm really excited for Hotline Miami, because that game looks super fun. That game looks dope. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I'm not really hyped about none of this next-gen stuff right now. Because it just sounds like, I don't know, it's, all accounts, everything is still 30 frames per second. Looking a little better. So it's kind of like, eh, whatever. We'll see. I'm more excited about Vita than I am about any of the systems right now.
Yeah, that Soul Sacrifice comes out soon.
Oh, word.
Mm.
So, yeah, so Microsoft, we will see. All eyes is on them right now.
Yeah.
Because Sony's had a lot of good press. Like, the buzz they have right now is awesome. So it'll be interesting to see what Microsoft does to kind of, like, kill it. Kill their momentum. Yeah. And Nintendo's...
I'm sure I read like last week, whenever it was, I think the CEO of GameStop or somebody said they've already taken like 900,000 pre-orders of the PS4.
I don't know how
much truth is in that, but 900,000 pre-orders,
and they haven't even seen it. All they see is a controller.
So you know, that's crazy if they can do them numbers. But then again, that's 900,000 1,000 pre-orders for a system that has not yet got a price.
Right. Yep.
You know, so expect that to be cut in half, at least. You know, come E3 or whenever, when we get the price of this system.
We will see, that's for sure.
Because if they drop that shit right before Christmas, ain't nobody, well, not many people who's going to be buying a £500, $500 console. Maybe truth. More.
That's the truth.
So.
That is the truth, yeah. Sir.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just go into Bioshock Infinite, because I feel like we've...
put it off too long.
We've put it off too long. God only knows. Here you go. Yeah, so let's just do it right. Let's just do it
right. I mean, I'd greatly appreciate it if you would assist.
Perhaps you should ask him. I imagine he has a greater interest in getting there than I do.
I suppose he does, but there's no point in asking.
Why not?
Because he doesn't row.
He doesn't row?
No, he doesn't row.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, man. So, that's a little clip from the beginning of the game that says so much. There's so much. Okay, so let's, before we even start talking about it, talk about what we're going to talk about. So for those who haven't played the game or haven't beat the game, you might have played it and haven't beat it, we're not going to spoil it. We're gonna talk about the general game first, and then we're going to get into spoilers at the end. So we're going to warn you before we get into talking about the story. And this is just one of those games where there's so much to talk about once you beat it, because it's like such a big ass reveal in the end. That's kind of like a oh shit moment. So we're gonna just say, hey, right now we're gonna talk spoilers before we do it. But at first, for those who haven't played it, we definitely want to talk about it to see, just so you can get an idea of what the game is like and about, and whether or not you want to take the time to play it or buy it. So with that said, I think the game itself is awesome. I, you know, been playing the PC version, and the game is just stunning, man. And I think on any version of the game, it's stunning. It's just the art style and the atmosphere that's set. Like, immediately when you start the game, you just get pulled into it. And it's just... it's just one of those rare games that it's like they've done it again. You know what I mean? I think, like, within the first 30 minutes of playing it, I knew that this was going to be, like, Bioshock-level dope, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't disappoint. There are a few things that I think, you know, were weird for me, and I'm curious to ask you about that, too, because... just to see if you had the same frustrations with it. And it's not spoiler related, but the art and the atmosphere is dope. It definitely feels like a different game than Bioshock, but it feels like a family, familial type of thing. So I thought that it was just fun, man. I had a great time with it. It had just enough action to keep me interested, you know, like shooting and all of that stuff. Yeah. I think was better than Bioshock. And I don't know about the guns, though. I felt like, okay, I don't know if it was just me, but did you feel that, like, upgrading some of the... so, okay, you have your guns, and then you have your, like, plasmid type... they call it... what do they call it in this one? Elixirs,
the...
or...
No, the the Vigors.
Vigors, yeah. It's like plasmids. I felt like I never could afford the upgrades of them. Did you have that issue?
Yeah, I found myself like searching everywhere for, you know, the currency and everything, mm-hmm. and I think before the end of the game, I actually saved up like 10,000.
How?
To try it.
You just stopped buying shit.
I just wasn't buying shit. But then obviously, like, as the game progressed, the enemies got a lot stronger.
Yeah, you need to upgrade stuff.
Yeah, so yeah. It was that point I thought, now I do need to upgrade.
Right.
Now I'm glad that, you know, I saved up all these.
Yeah, and I felt like that was something that needed to be addressed in the game. Like, the definitely an imbalance in the currency system of the game. Like, I could never afford the vigor upgrades, and I could never afford... Well, I could afford the weapon upgrades, because those were cheap. Like, those are like $300, $400. But the vigor upgrades were like 3,000 or 1,500. They were always, like, really high. And so I don't know. I think they didn't tweak that. I don't think that was tweaked well. Because I know Bioshock, you could upgrade stuff too, right? Vigors or plasmids?
Yeah.
It was seemed that one seemed a lot smoother in terms of having enough money to choose what you wanted to upgrade. And this one, I felt like I couldn't upgrade anything in terms of the vigors, so it was weird.
I mean, to be quite honest, in terms of the vigors, I'm not really sure, like, how they served in the grander context of the game. I mean, I think in the original Bioshock with the plasmids, there was a reason that you had these plasmids at your disposal. You know, the people of Rapture, you know, were hooked on these things and everything that was going on surrounding them, you know, genetically improving yourself.
Right.
Whereas I think in Infinite, Vigors didn't really serve that purpose because it was only Booker who tended to use them.
No, I mean, that's not true. Well, some of the
there was a few enemy types like the crows.
Yeah, they and used things, them. Yeah,
but yeah, I never really found there to be a purpose for them to be there.
Well, okay, so early in the game, it gives you that, right? It tells you they take you to the fair. This is like the beginning of the game, and it shows you that that's part of their economy, right? Like, it's a commodity, so the vigors are a product. It's like going to the liquor store and buying a bottle of champagne or something. Like, it's a bottle of this thing you can buy that allows you to do something, right? Because then you see the billboards all over the place. It's like, why pay the electric company when you could have the shock vigor, right? Shock jockey vigor. So the game kind of shows you that it's a product that's being sold by these people, that company, Fink or whatever, as just a way to make money. But people are buying it to kind of, you know, get around doing certain things. Or, like, some of the vigors are used for, supposedly for, like, self-defense, right? And some of them are for utilities, like the shock one. So it's a part of just the whole commercial economy of the city. So it kind of does. I didn't feel like that didn't make sense. I feel like it didn't make sense until I realized that there was that whole civil war in the city. Then it made more sense that, oh, okay, yeah, you might need self-defense, right? Because at first everything looks so fucking picture perfect until you see what's really going on, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that there is this movement and these battles and that kind of thing, the seedy underside of the city. So I think once I saw that, I was like, okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. But, and some of it, when we get to the spoiler part, I think explains that even more about where all that stuff was coming from and all that stuff. So, but I think I made a huge mistake, like, for at least 3/4 of the game, where I didn't realize that if you hold down L1 or whatever, that you can get the menu to switch between the vigors? Did you know that?
What, like a quick switch?
Yeah. No, you know there's the tap L1 or whatever your button is, the bumper, to quick switch between the two in your HUD, but if you hold down the button, it gives you the radial menu with all of the vigors? Did you know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Like, I didn't see that menu until it was like, I was like 3/4 through the game.
So how was you?
I was just using the two vigors that I had, and I would switch them when I would get an opportunity to find it. You know how you would just find random ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like I missed out on a lot of that switching and using them. I know. So kind of sucked, and I was like, "Damn, man!" You know, I felt kind of stupid, but. The game definitely warrants another playthrough. So I'm just waiting for them to patch. There's an issue in the PC where when you get into, like, a new section of the game and it has to load stuff, it has, like, it pauses and stuff. It's kind of, like, annoying.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait till that's smoothed out, and then I'm going to play it again.
Yeah, I mean, It's definitely a fantastic game. I must admit, I was annoyed that I played it like in broken pieces, as it were. I like played it a few hours this day and then a few hours that day, you know. And because I had so much shit to do this week, I kind of felt like, oh, the game's dragging on a bit now. But the game didn't necessarily drag on, it just took me a while to actually, you know, find the time to beat it, you know. But then when I think back on it now, everything came together. It was just a fantastic game. It all just come together, you know, the action, you know, the setting, the atmosphere, the music, the ending. It was just like a perfect package.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know perfect.
I'm still debating to myself whether or not I prefer Columbia to Rapture. I'm not sure.
I don't even know if you need to have a favorite, really. I think they're both great on the same level. Like, there's problems in the game that I think it's not a perfect game to me. You know, I think that in some respects, Big Daddy's were more fair to fight than the new enemy you fight that's Big Daddy-esque in this game.
Oh, the Handyman?
Yeah, I felt like it was never a fair fight fighting the Handyman. I felt like he was always way too fast and powerful. Like, with Big Daddies, they were slow but powerful, right? There was the trade-off. And with those guys, the Handyman in this game, I felt like he was way too fast and way too powerful. And my whole thing was like, how are you supposed to fight him? Like, what, you know, it's kind of, I felt like there was like, it wasn't tuned enough, like that part, that character, in my opinion, needed some work in terms of like the gameplay, the action gameplay, and that felt unfair, you know. And maybe it was because I played it in hard mode, but I didn't see how you're expected to interact with that character in a way where you had an advantage in any way, right? Because he was so fast and so powerful that if he hits you, your shield is broke and you lose so much energy. So it's not even like you could run. I don't know. What was your experience with that character, like fighting them?
It wasn't my favorite character, I must admit. I don't think the Handyman will be as fondly remembered as the Big Daddy.
Right.
As a whole, I think the Big Daddy is iconic. You know, I don't think the handyman will be able to recreate that. What annoyed me was, I think, in the sections that the handyman would appear, it would appear where, you know, you can use, like, the skyline to actually zip around and
right.
shoot your enemies.
Right.
But them doing that, he can actually...
Electrocute
attach
it.
On... Yeah, he can actually electrocute it, so then it kind of just messes you up, because one of my favourite parts of the game was to zip around on them skylines.
Right.
And shooting up. You know, so then when that happened... adding to the speed of him and the power of him, like you say, didn't really feel fair, and it kind of threw some of the funness away from them battles.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's what I felt. I felt like they had something with that character, but they weren't able to finish it. You know, like, it could have been awesome if it was more like a dance, like Bioshock was, right? Like, when you encountered a Big Daddy in Bioshock, there was always that tension, and it wasn't as frantic, right? It just felt more like you could strategize what you're going to do, and you had time to run and hide. And, you know, I felt like with the handyman, it was always just like him just coming at you really fast and hard. And I don't know, it just didn't feel the same, you know? And maybe,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think in the context of the genre of game it is, which is a first-person shooter, I think the speed of him didn't really match well with how you control a first-person
right,
shooter.
Yeah, like what you
like
can do.
There's no, like, dodge button or anything like that, so if he runs at you, he's basically going to get you.
Yeah, because he's too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. So, yeah. I found that to be undercooked. And I felt like that could have been better, and I felt like the skyline stuff was great, but I felt like it wasn't tuned enough either. Like, it was too fast at times. It didn't default to a throttle speed that was just, like, perfect. I always felt like once you jump on it, it's like, whoa, this is too fast. I need to, you know? I don't know. I felt like it would have been better for them to make it so that you jump on it, and you're going at a nice speed, and then you could speed it up or slow it down, but not starting you off on, like, breakneck speed, you know? Kinda.
Mm. So did you never slow it down or speed it up?
I would always slow it down a little bit, for the most part, because you kind of have to kind of make those jumps off of it, but I felt like it could have been set to a default speed that was a little bit better, that would have been a little slower than it, you know?
Yeah.
It always felt a little too fast, because then, you know, if you want to, like, shoot people while you're doing that, you couldn't really do it effectively at the default speed because it's so fast. Like, I don't know. And maybe I'm just... I don't know. That's my impression. But it is a really fun mechanic, and I probably should have used it more than I did, you know, kind of thing. Because there were places where there were, and I was like, oh, damn, I could have did that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of cool about the game, is that you have options to attack stuff. Like, you don't have to do it one way. It makes you always feel like you have a choice, even when you really don't. Like, multiple doorways, but they really go to the same place, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah, in all, I felt it feels fun. Like, the shooting was cool. It's fun. It looks great. The story is great. It's thought-provoking. I'd definitely give it a 9 out of 10. That'd be my rating if I had to rate it. If I rated it solely on gameplay, I'd probably give it an 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
7 or an 8. But as a package, I have to give it a 9. But gameplay-wise, I might give it an 8, maybe a 7. Because of those issues. But overall, it just comes together awesome. So, The music is great. I feel like the music in BioShock Part 1 was better though overall. Like, the music in the first BioShock I felt was more tonal. Like, it fit better in the game, right? Like, I feel like when you, and I know that they probably couldn't do that because it would be samey, you know? But in the first BioShock, like, you knew what time period it was because of the music being played, right? You would hear it and you'd walk around like, oh shit, this is crazy. But in BioShock Infinite, you would get the music, but it wasn't as core to it. But it's still there, and it's still, and it's, you, like, they pulled it off. They definitely pulled it off. But it wasn't as impactful. And maybe it wasn't impactful because I've seen it before. You know, so it's hard to rate the game like you were saying, because some of it, it's not the same when you revisit the kind of some of the same concepts, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe it's not fair to judge it, because maybe if this was the first BioShock, I would notice the music more if I hadn't played the first one. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I think, you know, to his credit, Ken Levine and everyone at Irrational Games, I'm super glad that they left out the multiplayer.
Yep.
I'm super glad they did not go down that path.
They left out the Vita version too.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, like the week before the game dropped, I was kind of bitching about the fact that this game was announced like 2.5 years ago now, was when they first shown off them first screens. But I think it was worth the wait.
Yep.
It was a fantastic game, and honestly, I really don't know how they're going to top it if he does make another one.
Oh no.
I really don't. It's like, wow. So, yeah.
So yeah, man. Go get it. Go play it. It's one of the few games that makes you fucking like think. Like,
exactly.
It's almost sad that it's like that, right? It's kind of like, damn, well, how come I don't experience this more often, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you're a battered wife and then you're in a new relationship and you don't get beat. And you're like, wait, you didn't hit me. It's that kind of like shock. Not that I know that shock, but I'm just saying.
Well, you know, it's one of them games where I can't remember the last time that as soon as I beat the game, I wanted to read up more. I wanted to see what other people's theories were. I wanted to see some discussion about the game other than people just bitching about a score. You know, I wanted proper, you know, discussions, and it's just, as soon as I beat the game, that's the first thing I've done. I needed to know more.
I'm not even gonna front. When I first beat it, I was like, wait, what the fuck just happened? I was like, wait, what just happened? Because I had to sit there and... So we do the spoiler in the part now?
Yeah.
All right, so... Yeah, we're going to get into spoilers now, so... Come back to this after you beat the game. We're talking BioShock Infinite, so... We will begin spoiler talk now. So if you haven't beat the game, then please stop listening. Go beat it. Go beat it and then come back. So, alright. So, when I beat the game, I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it had to sink in, you know? And then, like you, I felt the same way. And I was like, let me read and see. Because there's all the things that happen along the way that you kind of walk past, not knowing, like, because the context is not there and you kind of don't interpret it, or either it just straight up doesn't make sense at the time, or you think it's about something it's not about, right? You think it's different. And
but it is literally there right from the beginning.
From the beginning, everything you need to know is there. Like, and reading about it online just basically reminds you of those things. And I think that's what helped me was once I read that stuff, I was like, oh, yes. You know, like the stuff we played about the boat. Like, yeah, they were on a boat, and they, you know, they insinuate all about them all throughout the game. The Lutesses are talking about how, commenting on the repetition of what they're doing, right?
Mm.
About how, ugh, this is like the, you know, they're taking tallies.
Yeah.
And seeing what you're, they ask you questions and they're like taking tallies on what your answers are because you've done it so many times, right? Or they've had different versions of you that, or a different, you know, yeah, versions of you from different possibilities that they're trying to get to do this thing for them. And a lot of it you do the same, right? They're the constants and the variables. But it makes no sense until you, at the end, they reveal that, you know, unless, you know, that thing is done, you're going to do the same. You could possibly turn into this monster guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's definitely crazy. I was exactly the same because the game kind of just ended abruptly. I mean, I was like, okay, I've been drowned, and that's it. The credits started rolling,
right.
So it definitely took a minute. I mean, because I think the last line of the game, obviously, all them different Elizabeths are saying, "Your Booker DeWitt, your dude's name, Comcast," and then he says, "I'm both," and then his head goes underwater, and then, you know, the credits start rolling, and you're like, what? Are you fucking serious? And then that's when I thought, right, I need to read up on this shit. And then it all started to become clear. You know, and it definitely makes me want to go back and play the game again. You know, and find,
right,
like, the rest of the Voxophones. As I think, I didn't find them all. But, you know, some of the shit, and oh my god, when they went back to Rapture, it's like,
that was
like,
ridiculous.
I was like, shit.
That was ridiculous.
Did you notice, though, that Booker is actually Andrew Ryan?
No, he's not.
He is in another universe.
He's not Andrew Ryan.
In another universe. If you think back to Bioshock, the original Bioshock, the only person who was able to control the bathysphere, which is that thing that him and Elizabeth sit in that transports them around Rapture, the only person who can control that was Andrew Ryan.
No, or his family.
Yeah. So,
but how could Andrew Ryan is not the protagonist of Bioshock.
No.
So that doesn't follow.
Because Jack, who was the protagonist, but who was the protagonist, he was also able to control it.
Right. But so, Jack wasn't Andrew Ryan.
Well, it's all connected.
It's all connected. Right, but Jack is not Andrew Ryan.
Well, he's related somehow.
Right.
So, you know, that shit was just crazy. I mean, because I was waiting throughout the whole game for some reference to Bioshock, to the original. I thought, they can't make this game and not have a reference to Rapture. And it completely just went over my head when I think one of the Voxophones diaries, they were talking about, I can't remember who it was, he said he glimpsed into this world and he saw man fused with machine. You basically talking about the Big Daddies.
Right.
You know. And that just completely went over my head until, obviously, I then started reading up, and I was like, oh shit, that's what that meant? Because I actually found that Voxophone. So, it was, it's so much.
Right, because they were basically stealing stuff from different
Yeah.
From different possible universes.
Yeah.
And Tears. All of that stuff, the Vigors, all the technology and music were all stuff that they stole and were selling, and that's why they were getting so rich. Mm. Right? So the Lutesses invented the machine that allowed the Tears, and then, you know, Comstock and the Finks and all of them were basically the ones acting like it was their inventions and making all that money from it.
It's just, I mean, even now, I don't understand it all. There's still a lot more that I want to, you know, get to grips with. I mean, because there was the whole situation surrounding the Battle of Wounded Knee and everything going on in the Hall of Heroes that I want to go back to, because obviously that plays a big part of it. The Battle of Wounded Knee, which is, you know, Booker decided he didn't want to be baptized, and then he became the Booker who we play as. Whereas right. in another universe, Booker did get baptized, and that's when he become this religious fanatic, and he became Comstock and all this shit. So
right. Well, no. He becomes baptized and becomes a new man. It's different, right? Basically, what happens is he's at the Battle of Wounded Knee and does all of this horrific shit, right?
Mm.
And chooses to... When the Bookers did choose to be baptized, he basically... After the baptism comes out of it, like, I'm no longer Booker DeWitt, I'm Comstock, as a different person that is Comstock. But then some of them don't do the baptism, and they still stay as Booker DeWitt, who is the, like, drunk, you know, version of himself that's self-loathing and whatever, right? The one that you play yeah. as. Who, you know, never gets over the things he's done and all of that stuff and gambles and stuff, right? He's just a mess. So those are the two that's the split, right? That's where you have the two possibilities. You have Booker that becomes baptized after the battle, who becomes Comstock, and then you have the Booker who doesn't get baptized, who stays as the Booker that becomes the kind of hero of the game. And then that's why Elizabeth is like, well, the only way that I could prevent this is to kill you here, right? Before you make the decision. Because that wipes out all possibilities of everything, right? So, because he has Elizabeth after the battle. So he, you know, comes back, gets married, has Elizabeth, his wife dies in childbirth. And or he becomes Comstock, right? And then goes yeah. to steal Elizabeth because he can't have kids for some reason because he gets infertile by going through time to steal the stuff that he steals to become wealthy. So that was the trade-off, and that's why the Lutesses, they have that voxophone thing that says that Comstock becomes infertile because of messing with the Tears. And then they have the other one that says, you know, Fink and him and the other Fink. There's a music Fink, and then there's the Vigors Fink. And they, you know, are going through time stealing stuff. Not going through time, but going through different universes stealing ideas. And that's why Comstock couldn't make his own heir, and that's why he has that whole fake prophecy / 7-day, his wife had a kid in 7 days, right?
Yeah.
But it never really happened. Because he stole the baby, type thing.
Just crazy shit. I mean, it's not easy to get to grips to, you know. I think unless you really dig deep into it, But I think it's worth it to go and find that shit out, you right. know? Because that's what I'm saying. When I beat it, I didn't really understand what was going on until I read up. And then it kind of just all started to make sense. And I was like, wow.
Right, right. Because there's so many different parts to it. And then the other significant thing is the fact that every time you die, the Lutesses are just pulling a different... You really do die. They're just pulling a different possible you to try it again, right?
Yeah.
So the infinite death thing is actually explained, and most games don't, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Definitely is. It's like, what?
Right. So, because either Elizabeth, you know, revives you, or the Lutesses get a new you. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, because, like, when Elizabeth isn't around and you die, you go walking through that door.
Right.
You know, so you don't just reappear, you go walking through that door, so you kind of, you're walking back into that universe.
Right. They're pulling you in, yeah.
It is really crazy. I mean, God knows what he was smoking when they come up with this shit.
Right.
You know?
It. You know what it reminded me of? The feeling I felt after I watched The Matrix for the first time. Mm. You know when you watch The Matrix the first time and you're like, oh, shit. And there's like all these different possible things and you're like, oh. And you like, you know, you have to watch it again. It's crazy. Or Memento.
I'm just thinking now, though, like I said before, where do they go from here? I mean, could they make another BioShock game? Or have they kind of shot themselves in the foot with the way they kind of explained it? With, you know, there's always a lighthouse, there's always a sitter, there's always a man. You know, that whole thing, it's like, well, will the next BioShock break away from that mold and, you know, carve itself out a new identity? Or, you know, is it gonna stick to what the universe now has explained to the player? You know, is it too early in the franchise to have had that big explanation? You know, I mean, could there have possibly been a couple more games in the series? And then the final one, it explains that all these worlds are connected. And that's why they always start with the lighthouse. You know? It's kind of like the big reveal might have come too soon. But obviously that's if it decides to make any more BioShock games. But then again, like I say, I'm not sure how they could top this one. In terms of the oh shit and that whole wow factor behind it, so I don't know. It's interesting to see where they do go from here.
Yeah, because they have like the season pass that they're selling, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They're selling a season pass, and so they have DLC planned for the game quite a bit. Because if they're selling a season pass, and apparently that's going to get into more detail about the story as well. So there's more coming, and I'm totally going to buy the season pass because it's on sale on Green Man Gaming, and there's a coupon where you can get it for $15, and I got $15 credit for buying the game, so it's free. Yes. Gotta love it. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, I'm gonna have to play through that again. Definitely. And it also makes me want to play through BioShock again. Which is something I definitely want to do. But I don't know if that's too much of that, you know. That's a lot of shocking. BioShock. What vigors did you use the most?
I like the crows. And I also liked, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like the water one. It was like you shoot out water and you can able to pick them up and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. That was a good one.
But then again, I
think it was the very first first figure you ever got where you can actually
Devil's Kiss, the fire.
No.
Isn't that the first one you get?
Yeah, that was the first one. It'll be the one after that where you can actually control your enemies and like.
I
like that one because it was good to see the enemies fight for you, but then they commit suicide.
Right.
So, yeah, I use that one a lot.
Yeah, me too. I use that one and then also the Shock Jockey, the electric.
Mm.
One part that I really didn't like about the game was the part with the ghosts. Like, what was that shit about? Like, I think that was the weakest shit. Like, the Lady Comstock stuff was so... There was two parts of the game that I felt were whack as fuck. The first part that was whack as fuck was the Lady Comstock battles. Because I was like, how am I supposed to beat this? Like, it took me... I had to look up online how to beat it. Because I was like, shooting them and shooting them and shooting them. And they weren't dying. And she kept resurrecting them. And I was like, yo, first of all, why are there ghosts in this game? Right? Like, what the fuck? And zombies and shit. It was just... It felt out of place and stupid. And then...
Yeah, I kind of think that whole Lady Comstock thing...
Was stupid.
That whole section was kind of like filler.
Yeah. I'm like... I didn't like it. And even the parts where you were in the insane asylum and then they had like the... That was also with the ghosts, with the dudes that would, like, get that spirit in them and then they would come after you. Like, I felt like that whole part was stupid. I didn't like that shit at all. And, like, how was I gonna supposed to know that you have to shock them and then blast them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that just felt... I didn't like that at all. I didn't like that shit at all.
But I think that the Lady Comstock section, it was just one big, like, fetch quest, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I remember, you know, that Columbia kind of, like, opened up to you in that section. So I'd already gone to the graveyard and took out all the enemies before you actually had to go there anyway.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah.
All of the zombies?
Not the zombies, there was like just all the other enemies there, mm-hmm. So that section was already originally full of people, so I'd already gone killed them and, you know, looted the corpses and whatnot. And then afterwards, obviously, Elizabeth says, oh, now we need to go to the graveyard. I've already been here, and then you're looking for, was it three different tears or four different tears? So... It was just going back and forth, looking for these tears. So I kind of felt, yeah, just this is turned into one big fetch quest that I didn't really understand what's going on. This whole Lady Comstock thing, not really feeling it. You know, it kind of went on for a long time. I think it was just more filler than anything.
Yeah.
Just to draw out the game a bit more.
That shit felt kind of stupid. And then the other part that felt stupid was... When you are defending the Comstock ship.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that shit was so lame, dude. Oh, my God. Like, literally, I had to drop the game into normal mode. Like, I played the whole game on hard mode, and then I got to literally, which is, that's the last part.
You know, right? It's actually funny because I was struggling with that section. On normal mode, and I was sat there thinking, you know, Brooke said on the side that he's not playing on normal mode. I wonder how he's actually getting on with this.
That shit pissed me off. Oh my God. But dude, I would get to like the last ship that you have to shoot down, and I would always get destroyed by some bullshit. Yeah. And I just said, yo, this is bullshit. What?
then it starts you right from the beginning of that.
That's what I'm saying. I spent like an hour or two on it, and I was like, oh, fuck this. And I put it on normal mode and beat it. And I was like, fuck this bullshit. Like, seriously. That shit was just bullshit. Like, seriously.
Yeah, it was a stupid section.
That was a real dumb section.
Yeah.
So, I couldn't give the game a 10 because it has room for improvement, definitely. But it's game of the year for me, definitely, so far. Like, unquestionably.
So far. There's no doubt it will be definitely top 5 this year.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, it's going to be... I think any game that comes out this year is going to be hard-pressed to beat it in terms of the story. The wow factor. I mean, gameplay...
I heard Killzone Mercenary is going to give it a run for its money.
I doubt it.
I'm talking shit.
I think the only game that we know about that's definitely coming out this year that possibly going to give it a run for its
GTA
money in terms
5.
Of the story is The Last of Us. But then again, I don't think The Last of Us is going to have a big, you know, a big reveal right at the end that's going to make your jaw hit the floor.
Right. I think GTA 5 is a serious contender. You know, Last of Us.
GTA 5, I think for the fun factor of the game, but I don't think is for
yeah,
the overall
I'm talking about
story.
The game overall. I'm talking about right. Game of the year, not story of the year. The two different things, right? One is a part of the other. But in terms of game of the year, yeah, GTA would be there. Last of Us, like you said. And then you have, you know, the game everyone's eagerly awaiting that's going to come out. Last Guardian.
Yeah. Crazy. But no, I think it's definitely worth the money.
Oh, yeah.
BioShock, you can't really complain.
I mean, I got the game for a steal, dude. Like, I paid $60. I got $15 cash back, so, you know, that's already $45. And then I sold one of the code. I got a code for XCOM for free, and I sold that on eBay for $15. So I literally spent $30 on the game. And then I have a $15 credit that I'm going to use to get the full, what do you call it, pack, the season pass. So that means I got the game and the season pass for $30. And I got a free copy of BioShock 2 and BioShock 1 that I could either sell or keep.
I got a free copy of BioShock 1.
Yeah. I think I'm going to sell my PS3 versions of BioShock 1 and 2 and then just keep the PC versions of those games because, well, actually, BioShock 2 is worse on PC, I heard, so I don't know.
BioShock 2 sucked. I mean, now that Infinite is out, BioShock 2 just does not exist to me.
Really? You were the one saying it wasn't that bad.
Completely, that game is just completely irrelevant to me. It really is. I never understood why they went back to Rapture, and I've always said that.
Dude,
always
money,
said that.
Money.
Yeah, for the money. But in the grander scheme of things, I played that game, and it's like, what have you done to Rapture? This ain't the same Rapture.
Money.
We've been here before. We didn't need to go be here before. Tacked on, whack ass multiplayer. Fuck that shit.
Money, man.
Fuck that shit. There's a reason Irrational Games did not make BioShock 2. There's a reason. Because they didn't want to go back to Rapture no more. Rapture had its day. And the original BioShock will forever be a classic. As will BioShock Infinite. I mean, I've not seen so much discussion on a game in a long time. you know, it's crazy.
Yep.
Craziness.
Awesome game. Everybody go get it. Well, actually, if you're listening to this still, hopefully you played it and beat it. Right? So.
Yeah.
There's that. So, yeah, man. So, that's it. I don't know what else there is to say. You know, I don't even know what else is coming out, man. I know Guacamelee's coming out Tuesday. I don't know of any other games I'm looking at. Any other games you're looking at playing?
Not really.
I just been playing this and Vita stuff. So. Yeah. So that's that. BioShock Infinite. And I guess that concludes this podcast. Check us out on iTunes. We are spyware free on iTunes. And hopefully by now Google has reset the spyware warnings on the site, because its site has been cleaned. So fear not. Some bullshit. So hit us up, BrooklynKing.com, and we are out. Peace.
Peace.
If you should ever leave me, though life would still go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you. Stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.